I wanted to start off today with a quick joke. There was one time a convert who was far along in his conversion process, and he was spending a Shabbos in the community in which he had been learning and working on his process of conversion. And at the end of Mincha, Shabbos afternoon, one of the other men in the shul walks up to this man who is in the conversion process, and he says, "You know, I don't mean to overstep, but I've been watching you the entire Shabbos, and it seems to be that you have been keeping Shabbos." And he says, "Someone who is still in the process of converting, someone who is not yet Jewish, is not allowed to keep Shabbos." So he says, "I just wanted to point this out to you. There's still some time left to Shabbos. You should make sure to do something that is violating the rules of Shabbos so that you will not be violating this rule that a non-Jew cannot keep Shabbos." And he says, "Honestly, I've been watching the whole Shabbos and good job. Like, it seems like you have more chumros than I do. Like, I maybe have been keeping Shabbos. Like, you've been keeping a great Shabbos." And the guy looks at him with a funny look and he takes his keys out of his pocket. And he says, "What do you mean? I've been carrying this the whole Shabbos." And the man looks at him and says, "But we have an Eruv in town." And the convert looks back at him and says, "You think I hold by the Eruv?" So just a little light joke to jump into our topic today, which is going to be the topic of the Ger and Am Yisrael, the convert and Am Yisrael. In our parshiot this week, parshiot Achrimot Kedoshim, there is a discussion of many topics of mitzvot bein adam l'chaviro. Parshat Achrimot starts differently. Achrimot discusses some of the laws of Kohanim and when they can and cannot enter into different parts of the Beis HaMikdash. And this is following, of course, Achrimot Kedosh, Achrimot, the death of Nadav and Avihu. The Torah clarifies some of the roles of the Kohanim for us. And then we move on to Parshat Kedoshim. And in Parshat Kedoshim, there is a discussion of many of these mitzvot bein adam l'chaveiro, of how to treat your workers, how to treat our friends, famous psukim. It's kind of like the best hits of Torah, all in one parak. It's V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, lifnei iver lo titein michshol, don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind, et shavtu tai tishmoru, ishimova aviv tira'u. There's really all the best hits of Torah are condensed into this first parak of Parsha Kedoshim. The Mefarshim say that Parsha Kedoshim is an expanded version of the Aseret Hadibrot, which is very interesting to analyze how each of the different rules presented to us in Parsha Kedoshim corresponds to the Aseret Hadibrot, to the Ten Commandments. And then as we move later on in Parsha Kedoshim, we continue when we learn about the Arayot, the immoral, forbidden relationships. And then we discuss some rules that relate to how we interact with the ger, with the convert. So first I want to look into the text and see where are some instances, in what context is the ger, the convert, brought up in our parsha. So if we look in the first source, in Vayikra Perek Yotet, V'karmecha lo te'olel, V'peret karmecha lo te'lakit, La'ani v'la ger ta'azov otam, Ani Hashem Elokichem. One of the categories of rules that we discuss in the beginning of Parsha Kedoshim is the rules of the field. That when you are harvesting from your field, you must leave different pieces of the field, whether it be the sheaves of wheat that fall out of your hands, or whether it be the corner of your field or your vineyard, you have to leave it la'ani, to the poor person, v'la'ger, and for the convert. Later on in Parak Yotet, v'chiyagorit ha'ger ba'artzechem lo ta'anu oto. When a convert lives with you in your land, lo tanuoto, you may not afflict him. Ke'ezrach mikem hiyalachem hager, hagar itchem, ba'ahavta lo kamocha, ki girim hayitem be'eretz Mitzrayim. The pasuk tells us, the ger who lives among you, not only should you not mistreat him, ke'ezrach mikem, he should be a citizen just like anyone else. Ve'ahavta lo kamocha, you should love him like yourself. Ki geirim hayitem be'eretz Mitzrayim. This is a phrase that we are going to see come up often in relation to the ger. That why should we be kind? Why should we be nice to the convert? Ki geirim hayitem be'eretz Mitzrayim. Because ger is literally translated as a stranger. you should be nice to the stranger, to the other, because you were strangers in Eretz Mitzrayim. Later on in the next parak, in Vayikra parak chaf, Ve'al b'nei Yisrael tomar ish ish mi b'nei Yisrael u'min hager hagar b'Yisrael asher yitim mizaro lamolach mot yuma im ha'aretz yigar muhu ba'aben. This is later on at the end of the parak, actually the very end of the parsha. And now the Gerim are being included in the regular commandments that we are being given. That Hashem is forbidding us from sacrificing our children to Molach. Molach was a form of Avodah Zarah that was served by giving children as sacrifices in fire. Hashem absolutely forbids us from sacrificing to Molach. And he says, Jews are forbidden and Gerim are forbidden as well. That these Gerim are included right along with you, they may not serve the Molech at all. But many other places in the Torah, we hear about how we should treat the Ger as well. In Shemot Parak Chaf Bet, the Ger lo toneh, the lo tlachatzenu, ki Gerim hayitim be'aretz Mitzrayim. You should not afflict the Ger, you should not treat him wrong, you should not oppress him, ki Gerim hayitim be'aretz Mitzrayim, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And later on in Sefer Devarim, v'ahavtem et hager, you should love the convert, ki gerim hayitem be'aretz Mitzrayim, because you were strangers in Eretz Mitzrayim. There are 36 mentions of treating the ger properly throughout the Torah. There is a machloket. Yes, Shelley.
Can I ask what
is that when the idea of a ger is being brought up? Yes, when we were living in the lands of Egypt, it was slightly different because we did not have to become like the Egyptians, but we do know that in most ways we were like the Egyptians, that it is specifically stated the ways in which we did not assimilate into the Egyptian culture, and that was in our names, in that we continued Bris Mila, we had our own language, but in so many ways we did become so similar to the Egyptians. So I think that there is a deeper significance in the fact that we did become very similar to the Egyptians, but in the end of the day, we still were very much outsiders. We were very much strangers. We were very different from them. So Hashem is saying, when a ger, when someone who decides to convert to Judaism comes to the Jewish people, there is the potential that they could be treated like you were treated in the land of Egypt. But Hashem is specifically saying, remember, do not treat him that way. Ki gerim hayitem be'aretz Mitzrayim. You know how you were treated in the land of Egypt. So now we're going to delve back in, and we're going to say, okay, I just told you that the ger, the convert, becomes like a full member of the Jewish people, but is this true? So I said halachically, the Torah does designate, we know when we make Kiddush on Shabbos, we say, the gercha asher bisharecha, all the converts who are within your camp, they too should keep Shabbos. There are a number of mitzvot in which it specifically states that the ger must keep them as well. But what is the actual status of a ger, of a convert? Do they become a full practicing member of the Jewish people? Do they remain at a different level? Is that why they are designated specifically? Because we may think otherwise. We may think their status is different. So if you look at this excerpt that I brought you from the Encyclopedia Talmudit, the Encyclopedia Talmudit kind of condenses different opinions that are found in the Gemara. And this is based on a discussion that happens in Masechet Bikurim. When one brings his bikurim, part of the paragraph that you read states Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoseinu, that you are the God, that when they bring the bikurim, they address the forefathers. And the Gemara expands it and says not only with bikurim, but when we daven every single day, we say Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoseinu. And when we bench every day, we say Al Shehinchalta Lavoseinu, the land that you designated for our forefathers. And the question is brought up in the Gemara, can a convert make these statements? Because it's now Elokeinu, it is their God, but it's not Elokei Avoseinu, it's not their forefathers' God. So the question is asked, can they still say these psukim? Kishager mitpalel beino levein atzmo omer, Elokei Avo Yisrael. So the first opinion is brought up in the Gemara that when a ger, when a convert is davening by himself, he should say the words, instead of Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoseinu, he should say Elokei Avot Yisrael. V'kishehu b'vei Knesset Omer, but when he is in the shul, he should say Elokei Avoteichem, v'im hayta imo mi Yisrael. if he is in the Beit Knesset, if he is in the shul, he should say, Elokei Avosichem, the God of your forefathers. V'im hayita imo miYisrael, if his mother was from Bnei Yisrael, Omer Elokei Avosinu. But if he was naturally born Jewish, then that is the point at which he can say, Elokei Avosinu. So he says a ger, someone who converted, can, when he's davening on his own or in the shul, he should indicate that this is not the God of his forefathers. Rabbim min harishonim sobrim she'in halachakim. But many of the rishonim disagree with this. Ve'af hager imo omer Elokei Avosinu. And the ger should also say, Elokei Avosinu, the God of my forefathers. Mipnei she'Avram haya av l'kol ha'olam, because Avraham Avinu was the father of the entire world. V'kishim shehu mivi bikurim v'korei, kach hu omer b'tvila. Just like when he says bikurim, he is able to address as if Avraham is his forefather, because Avraham is the forefather of the entire world. We say Avraham is the av hamogayim. Kach omer b'tfila. He can also say it in tefila. The kach beberkat hamazon yachol omar al shem chaltal avotinu. He can say each of these as if it was his forefathers. V'chein yachol omar shehutzitanu mimitzrayim o she'asisa nisim l'avotinu. Shemeacher shenechnas tachat kampei hashchino in hefrish bino levino. This is the most important line that the Encyclopedia Talmudit is condensing the opinions and saying. What it all boils down to is that once this convert is machnis tachat kamvei hashchina, once he becomes a part of the Jewish people, he is under Hashem's wings, he is now a full-fledged member of the Jewish people, ein hefrish beinenu leveino. There is no difference between us and him. V'kol hanisim shenasu ki'ilu lanu v'lo nasu. All of the miracles that were done in the past to us, we consider them as if they were done to him as well. Shehareina emar, shekin yomru asher bachar banu v'asher natan lanu toras emes v'chayote, shekvar bachar bo Hashem v'hatora lanu v'lagirim nitna. Every morning when he wakes up and he wants to say Birchas HaTorah, he may hesitate before saying asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim. He would say, Hashem didn't choose me from the other nations, I chose him. But it ends off and says, Shekfar bachar bo Hashem v'hatora lanu v'lagirim nitna. The Torah was given not only to us as naturally born Jews, but it was given to all of the people in the future who were going to convert as well. This conversation can be seen in a very interesting letter. This was the compilation of the Gemara sources on it. However, there is a very fascinating letter. I apologize, on the source sheet it says the Mechtav Me Avraham Hager. I was a little bit tired when I was writing the titles in. It's the Mechtav Me Ovadia Hager. There was a Muslim man who lived during the time of the Rambam who converted to Judaism. And this man, Ovadia Hager, wrote a famous letter to the Rambam. And he said, She'ila Rishona, Al Iskei HaBrachot VaTfilot Beinach LeBeinat Mecha, O titzbalal b'tzibor, hayish l'cha lomar elokinu v'elokei avosinu. He says, when I am davening by myself, am I allowed to say elokinu v'elokei avosinu, v'asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav, that you sanctified me with your commandments, v'asher hivdilanu, that you separated me, v'asher bachar banu, that you chose us, v'shehin chalta l'avosinu, v'shehutzitanu mimitzrayim, v'sheasa nisim l'avosinu, v'chechol yit, Kayote b'inyanim ilu. All of these different things, that you chose us, that you sanctified us, that you separated us. Am I able to say all of these different psukim in the tefillah? And just before we get to the answer of the Rambam, I want to pause for a minute. And I think that it's so beautiful to be able to take that pause for a moment and recognize just how personal of a conversation tefillah is between us and Hashem. That this ger is looking at tefillah and saying, wow, this is such a personal connection and conversation between God and the Jewish people. Do I have a place in this conversation? And I know I can speak for myself. I often don't think of tefillah as this personal, of us saying to Hashem, Hashem, that you chose me, that you sanctified me, that you separated me. So sometimes it takes an outside perspective to stop for a minute and say, wow, This tefillah is so beautiful. We are thanking Hashem for specifically choosing us, to the extent that someone who was not naturally born Jewish feels a little uncomfortable with these statements. So just to help us to recognize just how personal and special that conversation really is in tefillah. So now to the answer of the Rambam. What does the Rambam answer to him? Tshuva. Yesh lecha lomar hakol kitiknan. Ve'al tishaneh davar. You should not change even one thing. Ela kemosha sheyitpalel v'yavarech. Kol ezrach m'Yisrael. Kach ra'oy lecha levarech v'lehitpalel. Just like any other citizen, totally included participant in the Jewish people, you should also make these blessings. You should say these tefillot. Whether you are davening by yourself or whether you are serving as the shaliach tzibor for everybody else, you are a full-fledged member of the Jewish people, and you should be making each and every one of these statements. Avram Avinu at one point taught everybody. He included everybody in his teachings. Therefore, at one point, we were all strangers, and Avraham taught to all of us. So we say, just like Avraham taught to all the nations, you are totally included in the Jewish people. You are a full-fledged member. So now that we understand what the relationship is meant to be between Am Yisrael and the Ger, we are meant to completely include them. We see that it is emphasized 36 times throughout the Torah that we should treat the Ger nicely, that we should include them. They are a full-fledged member of our people. Why? Why, if they become a full-fledged member, is it emphasized so many times? We understand what the relationship is meant to be, but why is that? If they are just meant to be a full-fledged member, shouldn't we be told once or twice and then move along? Now they are still part of the Jewish people. They are now totally part of the Jewish people. Why do we keep having to remind ourselves specifically to be kind to the Ger? This question is strengthened by another pasuk that we have in this week's parsha. Lo tikom velo titor b'nei amecha, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Arguably, definitely according to Rabbi Akiva, the most famous pasuk in all of the Torah, and arguably one of the most important, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Love your neighbor, love your fellow brother as yourself. So the Sefer HaChinuch notes and says that if one mistreats a ger, they are not only transgressing all of the commandments to treat a ger positively, but they are also transgressing this commandment of the Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. That if you mistreat a ger, you are mistreating specifically a convert, but you also are just mistreating another Jewish person, and that falls under the Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. So based on the Sefer HaChinuch's observation, we can point out and strengthen our question of if we have this commandment just to treat all others as we treat ourselves, to love all of our fellow people, why emphasize so many times to be kind to the ger? And what I want to look at today is three approaches. One that is going to focus on the past of the convert. One that is going to focus on the potential future of the convert, and one that is going to focus on the convert in the here and now, right now in the present. So first for the past. The Mishnah in Bava Metzia says, Kishim she'ona'a b'mekach u'memkar, just like there is a concept of exploiting somebody when it comes to business, kach una'a b'dvarim. We also have a category that is called una'at dvarim, which is exploiting someone through our words. Lo yomar lo b'kama chifet zeh, v'hu eino rotel likach. The one may not say to someone who is selling something, how much are you selling this item? If he does not wish to purchase it. You are not meant to walk into a store and ask them the price of every single item with no intention of buying, because then they are going to assume that they're going to be making money off of this conversation, which will lead to a sale, and you have no intention of participating in that. That is considered to be ona'at devarim, that you are exploiting someone through your words. V'hu eino rotel likach. Im haya ba'al tshuva, lo yomar lo, Zechor ma'asecha harishonim. He says, so too with ona'at devarim, is that if someone is a baal tshuva, you should not allude to their past. You should not ask them questions. The first thing you say when you meet a ger should not be, do you miss eating cheeseburgers? How was all of that partying you used to do? You should not be reminding them of their past, asking them questions about their old ways. Imhu ben gerim, if he is the child of a convert, lo yomar lo zechor ma'aseh avotecha. You shouldn't remind him of what his parents used to do. Shene'emar, v'ger lo toneh v'lo tzlachatenu. The Mishnah is telling us this is what is included in the commandment that we saw in Sefer Shemot, of v'ger lo toneh v'lo tzlachatenu. You should not exploit him. You should not oppress him. The ger is someone who is in a vulnerable position. He came from this sort of shady background. Even if he was a completely upstanding member of society, as many non-Jews are, he had a perfectly fine life, we still believe that he was doing things that are not allowed according to the Torah. Whether it was what he was eating, how he was dressing, what he was, anything that was not Torah u'mitzvot, we're not saying that he was a bad person in his past life, but he has now taken on an entirely new way of life, and we should not be reminding him of his past that he may be embarrassed about, he may be uncomfortable to discuss. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says, "My dechtiv v'ger lo toneh v'lo tzlachatenu, ki gerim hayitem be'eretz Mitzrayim." In Shemot again, it tells us, "Lo toneh v'lo tzlachatenu," you should not oppress him, you should not abuse him, "ki gerim hayitem be'eretz Mitzrayim," because we were slaves in the land of Egypt, we were strangers in the land of Egypt. Tanina Rabbi Natan Omer, Mom Shebecha Al Tomar Lechavirecha. Why does it bring up that we were strangers in Eretz Mitzrayim? Because a Mom Shebecha, a fault that is within you, Al Tomar Lechavirecha. Don't try to put someone down with something that is found in you as well. I can say, I work on many things. I think everyone struggles with Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is a very difficult commandment to upkeep. There are so many laws. We talk so much that it is so hard to work out our Lashon Hara. You shouldn't. If you are someone who ever speaks Lashon Hara, you most likely should not be walking around telling everyone else not to speak Lashon Hara. That mum shebecha al tomar l'chavirecha. If there is a fault that is found in you, you should not be using that as an argument against somebody else. So we should not be walking up to a convert and saying, oh, remember your past. Remember all of those things you used to do. Remember how you used to behave. Because mum shebecha al tomar becha v'recha. Ki gerim hayitem be'eretz Mitzrayim. You were strangers in the land of Egypt. You also did things that were not so great. You lived in a way, we were on the 49th level of Tumah when we lived in Egypt. We lived in a way that we may not have been proud of once we received the Torah. So it says, a fault that is in you, do not point out in someone else. We are being sensitive to the fact that we understand how they may feel. And therefore, we should not hold their past against them. They are a vulnerable population and we don't want to bring up something that is potentially sensitive. Rashi emphasizes this. He says, never go into an argument that someone can turn right around back at you. So the first approach is, why remind us specifically about the ger so often? Because they are a vulnerable group of people. Because they have a past that they may not be so proud of. And they may be slightly embarrassed or uncomfortable. And therefore, we want to develop this extra sensitivity. Yes, they are now included in V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. They are another person that we should respect like anybody else. But we get that.
About the concept that there's 600,000 souls at Sinai, and the ger is at Sinai? So then we're all... It's a Kabbalistic idea that I don't quite understand, but I've heard. So we're all part of those souls, all future generations, whether your parents, you can go all the way back to Yaakov, or whether you're somebody in your family was a ger and you came out from there. So if you're all part of these 600,000 people, then we're all the same. There shouldn't be any, there must be, I don't know if it's, Rambam isn't all that big on some of the Kabbalah, but there must be some of the commentators who say that this is the reason why you don't do it. Because right. They were all there.
Right. The Rambam did actually say that he says you were also given the Torah, that you were included, that the Torah was given to all Jews and to all Gerim. So the Rambam actually did include that in his answer. But yes, there is this idea. But I think even more than that, if they were just included and we all were just going with that opinion, there wouldn't be a reason to emphasize it so often. So what this first approach is saying is that the reason we emphasize it over and over again is because it is helping us to develop a specific sensitivity to those that are vulnerable, to those who have a past that they may be uncomfortable with, and how to speak to another person, how to relate to another person with understanding their background and their context. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, it's actually at the end of the source sheet. I'm sorry that it was put at the end. But Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks says beautifully, the Hebrew Bible contains the great command, you should love thy neighbor as yourself. And this has often been taken as the basis of biblical morality. But it is not. It is only part of it. The Jewish sages noted that on only one occasion does the Hebrew Bible command us to love our neighbor. But in 37 places, it commands us to love the stranger. Our neighbor is one we love because he is like ourselves. The stranger is one we are taught to love precisely because he is not like ourselves. So Rabbi Sacks, Zichar Tzadik Levracha, is telling us that why command us so often how to treat the ger? Because it is different from via haftal recha kamocha. This is a person coming from a different situation. He is not someone who is just like us, who is so easy to love because they remind us of ourselves. We have the same past. We live in the same place. We're so similar. Of course we would love them. He says you have to love specifically the person who is not like yourself, the one who is different. So that is the commandment, why we have it repeated so often, to love the ger. Based on their past, we should have that in mind, and we should love them, especially now, not because they're the same as us, but because they are different. But there is a second approach that focuses not on the past of the ger, not of where the ger came from, but that the commandments to be sensitive to the ger are because of what potentially could happen to him in the future. What does this mean? The Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us, Tana Rabbi Eliezer Hagadol Omer, Mipnei ma hishira Torah bilamid vav mikomo va'amreila b'mem vav mikomo. Why does the Torah warn us in 36, or some say 46 places? Beger mipnei shesura. Because within a ger is a tendency that they may be more likely than another Jewish person to return to their old ways. Because if someone mistreats another Jew, yes, there is always the possibility, and unfortunately we see this today, that sometimes people will have a very negative experience and that will lead them to go off the derech, so to say. But a ger, someone who is new to the Jewish people, who again is someone who is vulnerable, they may be more likely to leave from Judaism if someone mistreats them. Because imagine the situation, this ger has just gone through this very difficult process of conversion. They have finally become a full-fledged member of the Jewish people. And now they're not welcomed in. They're not embraced. They feel like they are an outsider. They are not being treated well. People are mistreating them. They are not welcoming. And he may say, what do I need all of this for? I know what the world before I came here looked like. It was fine. I lived until this point. I was happy with my life. I wanted something more, but it's not worth it. The people here are not warm. They're not inviting. They're not welcoming. I'm going to go back to my old ways. The Gemara says to us, that is why we need to make sure that we are welcoming and warm to the ger, because we don't want them to go back to their old ways, and they may have a tendency that is more in that direction. It is in light of this sensitivity that we have to treat the ger with a special sensitivity. That we have to say, is the way we are treating them encouraging them to continue on their journey to become part of the Jewish people? Or is it encouraging them to go back to their old ways? And as the Gemara continues in a piece that I did not quote here, the Gemara continues on and says, someone who has not yet entered the Jewish people has one view of the Jewish people. If someone enters the Jewish people and is mistreated and is disrespected, they are now not only going to return to the world outside of Judaism, but they are going to return with a bad taste in their mouth. And potentially worse, they may have a hatred of Judaism. They may feel that Jewish people are not warm, they're not welcoming, they're not kind, nice people. And that is so much more detrimental than someone who had not yet entered the Jewish people. Because now they will enter back and they will say, I had this negative experience and this is now what I am bringing with me. So we must be extra sensitive once the ger has become part of the Jewish people to make sure that we are kind, because if not, there is the potential that they could regress, they could go back to where they had come from with a new distaste and mistrust of the Jewish people. Now, one may ask, we know that it is part of the conversion process that you have to turn away the potential ger. That someone who wants to become part of the Jewish people, we believe in turning them away three times. But this is something to be kept in mind, that this as well must be done with sensitivity. We would never want to be rude and obnoxious and discourage them in a way that was demeaning, that we don't want you as part of our people, chas v'shalom. It's more giving them an understanding of the difficulty of the process, the difficulty that there is in life as a Jewish person, and through that, we attempt to turn them away. We never try to be rude or demeaning or disrespectful in any way. So that's the second approach. First, we have that we are concerned to respect the past of the convert to make sure that they don't feel uncomfortable or that anything they do not want to discuss is being discussed. So we are extra sensitive to that. The next one is that we keep in mind that we must be warm and welcoming to the ger. We must make them feel like this full-fledged member of our people so they do not, chas v'shalom, end up returning to their old ways with a new distrust of the Jewish people. But the final approach is one that focuses not necessarily on us, on how we are in relation to the ger, but more on the ger themselves in relation to their current situation in the present. What is happening to that ger, to that convert right now? The Ibn Ezra on Shemot Parachaf Bet, this is again the pasuk that we read, Lo ta'onu lo t'lachatzenu ki gerim hayitzim b'aretz Mitzrayim. This is the pasuk that many of the Mefarshim comment on in order to understand how we treat the ger. They go back to the original instance in which it is mentioned. So the Ibn Ezra states there, he says, V'ka'asher his kir ha-ger, she'ein lo koach kacha hayatum v'ha'almana, she'heim Yisraelim, ve'ein lahem koach. The ger is often included with the yasom, the orphan, the almana, and the widow. That it is this category that we should respect, the ger, yasom, and almana. These three types of people are often grouped together, and the Ibn Ezra is using that as a jumping point for understanding why the emphasis is placed on respecting the ger. And he says, because this is a group of people that don't have the same type of strength as the rest of the Jewish people. What does this mean? Are they physically weak? Are they less capable in any sense? No. So Rabbeinu Bechaye emphasizes and says, V'tzarif alav ha'almano v'hayasom l'fi shekulan toshishei kawach v'habriya mekilim bahem lahara v'lahatzerotam v'hine dimatam mtuyim kisharei dima lo ninalu v'alkin tzarich adam lihizaher bahem lahati v'lihitchasen imahem. The Torah mentions that we may not oppress widows or orphans because all of them have lost their human support system. That it says, Vishare Dima Lo Na'alu. They are a category of people who are sad, the Yatom and Almana, the orphan, the widow. They have lost their human support system, those that are looking out for them in this world. They are left very alone and they are lonely. The Torah groups the ger, the convert, with them, because although he has not gone through a tragedy like the yatzom or the almana, he too has been stripped of his human support system. That when someone desires to become a ger tzedek, they are making the extremely bold decision to leave behind their families, to leave behind their physical support system, everything they have known in this world, in order to enter k'tacha kanfei ashrina. They are willing to sacrifice their physical, emotional support for entering into Judaism. And the Mefarshim are emphasizing that we must be very cognizant of that. It's not just something that happened in the past, that they left from a certain way of life, and now all is good. They have jumped into the Jewish people, and they are a new person. It's not only concern about their future, that what might happen if we mistrust them. It's looking at a human being that is in front of us and recognizing their human vulnerability and saying, this is a person who is essentially alone in the Jewish world. That they have entered into this entirely new religion, new culture, new people, and they are alone. And just like it is instinctive that we should take care of the yatzom, the orphan, or the almana, the widow, no one would imagine mistreating that type of people. So too, we must think of the ger, of the convert, in the same context. We must care for them. We must embrace them. We must take them in and recognize the bold move, the bold change that they just made in their lives that left them physically alone, but they felt it was worth it in order to become part of the Jewish people. The Chizkuni says as well, the ger may be coming in lacking some cultural understanding. They may be lacking certain skills or understandings that they need to be a full-fledged part, not only of the Jewish religion, but of the Jewish culture. They may not have the skills they need, they feel, to get a new job. They may feel out of place. They may not have the right words to speak. They don't know the lingo. They don't necessarily know how to relate to the Jewish culture. And we have to be aware of that, and we have to take them in, and we have to make sure that we are not only teaching them the halachot and including them practically in our davening or in our mitzvot, but we must make sure that they are equipped with what they need to be successful participants in the Jewish people. So again, just to recap, we have the past that we are worried. We don't want to abuse them in terms of bringing up things that will make them uncomfortable. We have their future that we don't, chas v'shalom, want to leave them with a mistaste, a bad taste of the Jewish people. But most importantly, we have a focus on their present. That why isn't it enough to just say v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha and recognize that the ger would be included in that, just like they are included in the rest of Torah and mitzvot? Because we must have an extra sensitivity. And this is the importance of the relationship between the ger and Am Yisrael. It's not only about the ger developing this new relationship with the Jewish people, that they are now a full-fledged member and becoming that member of the Jewish people. It's about Am Yisrael as well. And when we have the ger join us, it is meant to change us as well. Are we a welcoming people? Are we a caring people? Are we a sensitive people? Do we have an understanding of the deep vulnerabilities and necessities of a person joining our nation? So this relationship is very much two-sided, and each truly gains from having the other in our midst. That the ger benefits from being around the rest of Klal Yisrael. That's why they joined the Jewish people. But Klal Yisrael benefits from having the ger because it develops our sensitivity. It helps us to create a greater understanding and to improve Am Yisrael through our new participants in our nation. So I want to end off. What is so great about the ger? They are called, as we said, the Torah Sheval Peh delineates the ger tzedek and the ger toshav. The ger toshav we did not deal with as much today. That's a very interesting concept of people who live amongst us but do not become full-fledged members of the Jewish people. But this ger tzedek, that they are a righteous convert. We know in davening, when we say al tzedikim, and later on in that bracha, we say the al gerei hatzedek, those who convert. What is so special about them? And the Gemara tells us, how loved is the stranger in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu who commanded them regarding 48 instances. Again, we see that the tally is growing, that each time the Chazal talk about how many times the ger is mentioned in the Torah, it goes from 36 to 37 to 46 to 48. The point is, it's emphasized many, many times. Them 48 instances. The ger is like a deer that joins a shepherd's herd and is favorable in his eyes. He says, in this one, I have not invested in him from birth, but it joins my sheep on its own. Therefore, I love it. Such are the righteous gerim, God says. Since he came under my wing, he shall be to you as one of your citizens. The merit of the ger lies in his joining the people and the faith of Israel out of his own free will. He is like a wild deer who has roamed free all his life and taken upon himself the duties and responsibility of God's herd. The voluntary choice to worship God elevates the ger to the level of the most righteous. the Gerim are so greatly praised and admired because Hashem says, an average member of the Jewish people, I have invested them in them from birth. They were born into this. They know no other way. And I have been giving to them all along. So of course, if we have this kind and loving God, we would want to remain as part of the Jewish people. But he says the Ger Tzedek, someone who chooses to convert, is like someone who has been allowed to roam free, but chooses, even though they have not had the same nurturing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as someone who was born into the Jewish people their entire lives, they choose on their own volition to leave behind many different experiences in the world that they had. One could say many different fun experiences, things they may not be able to enjoy once they become part of the Jewish people. But they choose to enter into worship of Hashem and their own volition. So Hashem says, for this, they have a special place in my religion. So just to end off, in this parsha where we discuss these mitzvot bein adam l'chaviro, the inclusion specifically in this context of the discussion of the ger, of the convert, is meant to only enhance how we relate to everyone else. Not only the ger, not only one who is placed on such a pedestal. Yes, we should give this special respect to the ger, to the convert, and make sure that someone who naturally could be on the outside never feels that they are that way, but also use these guides as a way to interact with everybody else. Then again, like Rabbi Sacks emphasized, we are only told to love our neighbor once. We are told to love the ger so many times. But to apply these lessons of the ger to everyone we encounter, to work on our general sensitivity, our thoughtfulness, our understanding of people's past, present, and potential future based on how we interact with them. So in Meretz Hashem, we take these lessons to heart and make everyone feel like a valued, appreciated member of the Jewish people.